Hi, I'm Mark Vincent and you're listening to 5 Minutes on Psalm 19. This is a psalm about communication, about how God has revealed himself and communicated with men and women. And he's done so in two ways. First, he's revealed himself through the creation, the things that he's made. And that's what the first part of the psalm is about. And it describes how the creation is a message from him. And all kinds of words to do with communication are used. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. It's like the world is talking to us. It's telling us about God's greatness and his power and his wisdom. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, the psalm says. Doesn't matter who you are, what language you speak, if you just get out there and have a look at the world that God has made, you'll hear it speaking to you, as it were. Now, when it's describing, this part of the psalm is describing what the creation says about God, the word that it uses to refer to God is the Hebrew word Elohim, the generic word for God. But when we get into the second part of the psalm, we've got an interesting contrast with that. In the second part, the psalm moves on to talk about how God has communicated to us in his word, in his commandments, in his statutes and ordinances. And now it's not that generic Hebrew word Elohim that's used. Now it's God's special covenant name, Yahweh, or translated the Lord, that's used. The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. And so it goes on. There's about six of those expressions. And then right at the end of the psalm, there's one last reference to the Lord. So altogether, God's covenant name is used seven times in that second half of the psalm. Seven's often a very significant number in the Bible. And it's making a contrast. Looking at creation will only take us so far in knowing about God. It'll reveal to us God's greatness in a generic sense. But if we want to know the details about God and his character, then we need to open up the Bible. We need to turn to his word to find out what he's got to say. Now, let's bury down a little bit more in this second half of the psalm about the word of God, because it says some very interesting things about the benefits of paying attention to God's commandments and statutes and ordinances. And those benefits are couched in terms that either connect with or contrast with things that we read about what happened way back in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve broke God's commandments and were punished with the sentence of death. And that's very interesting. And I just want to, we don't have time to walk through all the examples, but let me just pick out a couple of examples. You remember how Adam and Eve thought that by taking the fruit, they would be wise and they would become like God and their eyes would be opened. But this psalm asserts that that's not the way to be wise. The way to be wise is by paying attention to God's commandments. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Not like Adam and Eve, who found only sorrow when they took the forbidden fruit. The commandment of the Lord is pure, Psalm 19 says, enlightening the eyes. This is how your eyes get opened, not by taking fruit and breaking God's commandments. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Again, the contrast with the sentence of death that Adam and Eve's sin brought forth. And then the psalm goes on, more to be desired are God's commandments than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So the commandments of God are to be desired more than anything else that this world can offer. You remember how Adam and Eve desired the fruit, and of course it completely backfired upon them. Now when we get towards the end of this section of the psalm, there's another interesting reference back to Adam and Eve. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, the psalm says. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. What's the great transgression? Well, how about the one that began it all back in the Garden of Eden? What this psalm tells us is that to avoid it, we need to place a premium on God's word.